So I'm speaking with Fabian Almazan, composer and pianist, who is coming to town on March the 6th. Welcome, Fabian.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Why don't we start off by having you tell us a little bit about the band that you're bringing with you and the music you're going to be playing?
Sure. Well, the band comprises of the same core musicians that I've been working with for almost a decade now. Linda Mahan Oh on the bass, Henry Cole, the drums, and Camila Mehta, who is singing as well as playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And the music that we're playing was a commission from Chamber Music America. It's a suite entitled Alcanza, which is Spanish for the word reach. And it features not only the four of us, but also a string quartet. And I'm very excited to collaborate with local string players for this concert.
Yeah, we should mention that local string quartet is the Arcata Bay String Quartet. They are also looking forward to playing the music with you.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from originally, how you got into music and jazz specifically?
Sure. I was born in Havana, Cuba. My dad was a bass player. And when I was about 8 years old, we were able to leave because he was on a tour that went through Mexico. So we lived in Mexico for about 6 months. Then I moved to Miami, Florida, where I lived until I graduated high school. And actually, the first year after high school, I lived in California. I lived in Stockton for a year because I was going to the Brubeck Institute.
Oh, okay.
It's really nice because I went to school with Justin Brown, who's a California native, as well as Joe Sanders, who's a great bass player that's now living in Paris, Anthony Coleman, who's also a California native trumpet player, great guy, and Tommy Morimoto, who's a tenor player.
Yeah.
But anyway, I lived there for a year, and then I came over to New York, where I've been since 2003. I originally moved here to study at the Manhattan School of Music, and have had a love-hate relationship with this town ever since. But in regard to how I got into jazz, growing up in Cuba, I feel like it's basically the same ingredients as far as the music is concerned. You know, you have a mixture of European as well as African elements.
Right.
So I think the spirit of jazz I was very comfortable with because having grown up in Cuba, it felt very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Miami growing up, the actual sort of memory I have of that clear moment when I decided to get into jazz had to do actually with Ovid Calvier, who's a great drummer. He and I went to the same high school, which is the New World School of the Arts in Miami, Florida, which is an amazing magnet arts high school.
Right.
And at the time I was studying classical piano, and I had stayed after school to practice. And I just remember walking past this room where I overheard some people playing jazz. So I kind of just peeked my head in there, and it had a lasting impression on me to see these musicians that were about my age being able to improvise so freely and to be able to convey, you know, their own unique sort of musical perspective. So even though to this day I absolutely love classical music, it just felt like it was a good fit for me, improvised music and jazz in general. So yeah, I think I was a sophomore in high school when I decided that I was going to dedicate my life to this.
Yeah. So did you give up studying classical piano at that point, or did you keep doing both?
I kept it up, and I still practice classical music to this day. I'm mostly doing Chopin etudes now, but I don't perform it publicly, but I do enjoy playing it just for myself at home.
Right. And the idea behind writing music for your jazz quartet along with the string quartet, would you say that's coming out of your classical background, or are you inspired more by earlier jazz recordings with strings?
Honestly, I think it's neither one of those things. I think my attraction to this music is more on a human level. I just feel like literally the sounds, the timbre and the harmonies, I just kind of resonate with that sound. A clear influence on me was Ravel, and the way that I came across Ravel was because when I was, I think, 17 or 16, I had an injury where I fell on my wrist and I couldn't play with my right hand, so my classical piano teacher at the time told me to check out the Ravel Left Hand Piano Concerto.
Right.
So yeah, I went out and bought the album, and it changed my life because in this album I heard Le Tune de Copine, which is a beautiful piano suite, but in this album it was the orchestral version of it, the G major concerto, which is actually very jazzy.
Right.
Yeah, it just had I don't know if my feelings were perhaps a little more vulnerable then because I was so down that I couldn't play with my right hand. it's just, it made a lasting impression on me. I think the combination of learning how to improvise during that time and then hearing all of this Ravel music kind of just, it's just stuck. It's just part of my being at this point.
Yeah, now you're certainly not the first jazz musician that I've heard talk about Ravel's influence on them. What would you say it makes Ravel attractive to jazz musicians in particular?
I don't know. I mean, I've had this conversation with other jazz musicians too. And, you know, the first thing that comes up is the harmony, because it went both ways. He was influenced by jazz, but then he was influencing other jazz musicians. Honestly, to me, I just think it's absolutely gorgeous music, you know, taking away what genre it is. It's extremely moving to me. There's a lot of honesty. I mean, it's hard for me to say that because I never met Ravel, but it just feels like his music is very vulnerable and sincere, just on a human level.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's something that certainly a lot of jazz musicians would connect with, because that's, I know, a goal for many jazz musicians, to try to connect with the listener on that emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about your record label, because in addition to being a brilliant pianist and composer, you also run your own record label. Can you tell us a little bit about Biophilia Records?
I started Biophilia Records actually about 6 or 7 years ago, but at the time I just was very much trying to be a better pianist. I mean, not that I'm not trying to be a better pianist now, but I just had a lot of things going on at that time. And although I really wanted to dedicate more of my energy to the label, it wasn't until about 2 years ago that I was able to really dig in. So biophilia is a term used for the innate attraction that human beings have towards living things in general. So it's the explanation for why people will pay huge sums of money just so that they can live close to a park, or there's zoos in every major city that we take our children to. It's just kind of a built-in thing for human beings. I've always cared deeply about the environment, and I just started to notice that, you know, there was a parallel between the current state of the environment and music in general. They're both having a hard time surviving right now. You know, and with the music world, it's so easy for people to be able to acquire whatever music they want for free. It's becoming very difficult for the artist to be able to survive just being artists.
Right.
And I don't think I need to go into the environmental damage that we're causing. That's pretty clear. So, yeah, I realized that I had this passion for both music and the environment, and that I was meeting all of these artists that had similar interests. And I thought their music was incredible, but they weren't big enough names to perhaps get the attention of the masses.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just kind of let my idea percolate in there for a while. And little by little, it's kind of become what it is now, which is a label that has no real genre. All of the artists make whatever music they make. And what connects us all together is the fact that we care about the environment.
Right.
From time to time, we'll volunteer in our communities to do things like cleanups, you know, planting trees, or sometimes we go into schools and do performances. We also don't make CDs because of the harmful effects of plastic on the environment. So what we make is what we call a biofolio, which is an origami piece of art, which expands to 20 panels, but when you close it, it's the same dimensions as a CD jewel case. So rather than having the CD, you get more liner notes and more artwork and a download code inside, which makes it possible for the listener to actually get audio quality that's higher than CDs, because a CD is 44.1K versus what we can do now with these download codes, which is to make it 192K. So that's more than triple the audio resolution. So it's much more pristine quality.
Yeah. And I should just say here, you know, that I have at least one of your biofolios, and they're beautiful in and of themselves, both, you know, the way in which they unfold and the obvious care that you put into the artwork and the liner notes.
Thank you.
Well, is there anything more that you would like to tell our listeners about yourself or the upcoming concert and the music you're going to be playing?
No, I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm excited about getting to speak to some of the students at the Latinx Center for Academic Excellence.
Mm-hmm.
The music that I wrote, although it's for everyone, regardless of ethnicity, I specifically want to encourage the young Hispanic youth. That's why the title is Alcanza, which means to reach. Growing up in Miami, there are unfortunately certain negative stereotypes that can be imposed on young male Latin people. And I'm really excited to speak to them. You know, these are very strange political times we're living in. And I'm particularly looking forward to getting to speak to these Hispanic students.
Wonderful. I'd just like to say one more time that the concert with Fabian Almazan and his group is going to be on March 6th. It's happening in Fulkerson Recital Hall in the Music Building on the HSU campus. And you can get more information about that at redwoodjazzalliance.org. Thank you very much, Fabian. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Likewise. Thank you, Dan.